We hear a lot of uncomfortable words today, and St. Paul's words in particular are most uncomfortable when we listen to them, when we first hear them. Defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we are told that wives must be submissive to their husbands. And we get caught up in those very hard words, words that are hard to hear for us. And I always love this particular passage from Paul's letter, because as the lector is reading it, it's always fun to look out at the congregation and I see all these poking of ribs and sideways glances and smirks and everything else on people's faces as everyone's looking at one another. But Paul goes on to say more about that relationship of husband and wife as he compares that to Jesus Christ and the church. Because sometimes we stop at that first section, wives be submissive to their husbands. And it's like if you ever have gone down into a basement and there's cobwebs, and we walk face into all these cobwebs, and we're trying to push the cobwebs away, and we are so busy moving the cobwebs away that we don't really look at the rest of the basement. We don't really experience anything else because we're so busy with the cobwebs. But St. Paul goes on to say, defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We only need to look at the crucifix to understand and appreciate how much Christ Jesus loved the church. He gave himself up for her. And we have to contemplate that and reflect upon that. If we are to understand what Paul is saying, we have to take this whole passage in the fullness of the reading. And what he's saying is that everything that we're about is about deference and reverence. Deference and reverence to Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ does the will of the Father, that we also do the will of the Son of the Father as well. And in doing so, we defer to one another. We are reverent of one another as well. That St. Paul goes on to say to them, he compares this relationship that Jesus Christ has with the church. He is the head of the body. And the body is loved by Jesus Christ, who is the head. And the response of the body is to love the head of the church as well. There's a sense of mutuality there, selflessness, that the body and the church look after one another, to be sure husbands and wives in a very sacred relationship also are called to reverence one another, to defer to each other, to have that sense of respect and reverence in that very sacred, very, very holy relationship. It is a relationship that is made one through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can we take these words seriously? At least that's what the people of the gospel ask of Jesus today. These are hard words to hear. And they are referring to Jesus offering himself as food and drink. This is overwhelming for us. What are you talking about? How can we take you as food and drink? But it serves, to be sure, to move us into that passage for Ephesians as well. That the words of Jesus Christ are hard to take. But the words, when we allow those same difficult words to challenge our lives, we experience the revelation of God the Father. That when we gather together around this altar, when we come to this space, around this holy place, that when we take in the body and blood of Jesus Christ and really take time to reflect upon what we are doing, who we are receiving in the Eucharist, we have that revelation of God the Father. We come to understand, to appreciate the love and mercy of God the Father, that God comes into our lives in a very powerful way, comes into our lives as one like us and suffers and dies on the cross that we might have eternal life. And that's the Eucharist that we take. And the Eucharist is the body and blood of Jesus Christ that brings us new life. It brings us fullness of life before God the Father. Now the Catholic Church teaches about Eucharist that the fullest form of Eucharist, of receiving communion, is by taking the bread and the wine. If we came up and just took the bread, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's Jesus Christ who we're receiving. If we came up and just took the wine, that's fine. That's Jesus Christ who we're receiving. But the church says the fullest way to receive the Eucharist is taking bread and wine. That's the fullest expression. And then because it is that expression that Jesus reveals himself to us as the image of God the Father come into our lives. The Eucharist reminds us not only that Jesus died for us, but somehow we are united then with the saving power of Jesus, His love and perfect sacrifice of Himself to the Father. And St. Paul wants us to remember that when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes. So we receive from this altar something very sacred, very holy, food for the journey. And by receiving it, though, we are made different. We are transformed, that we might imitate that same mystery that we celebrate, that we might imitate that same relationship now that we have with God the Father because of Jesus Christ. And we allow ourselves to imitate that, to relate that to those that we love dearly, in particular in the sacrament of marriage and in family life. We see that, we come to understand that, and we come to recognize that. That when we participate in Mass, we place our very lives on the altar. And think about that. We come here to this place and we bring up bread and wine to be sacrificed, to be offered up to God the Father. But we also bring up to God the Father all those joyful moments, all those wonderful moments, all those happy times in our life. We bring those things to the altar as well, and we place them on the altar. We also take up all those messy times and those times of anxiety, those hurts, those pains, the disease, the loss, the confusion. We place that on the altar. And we offer it up to God the Father, that what we offer up to God the Father might be transformed for us and become new life. And as we make this wonderful holy exchange, we come to recognize God's love for each and every one of us. As we gather ourselves around the sacred meal, and not only are we fed by God, but we make that commitment to be that source of food, that source of blessing for one another as well. As we offer everything we receive from God, something very, very sacred, and our lives are transformed. We are now become new. We are made new because we receive this bread from heaven. I remember my siblings are all over the place. And all my brothers live on the edge of the country, West Coast and the East Coast and near Lake Superior. And that's like the end of the world up there. And they're all over the place. My sisters are the only ones that live in the locality. As a matter of fact, my one sister, the youngest of my two sisters, lives literally off of Illinois 75. Take a left turn, you go two blocks, 38 minutes away. I'm at my sister Joan's house. And it's interesting to watch my siblings, particularly my sisters, interact with one another. And you see this real sense of relationships going on there. It's funny to watch sometimes. And oftentimes I watch this and they realize that they're going to be in a homily someday. And that happens a lot. But it's interesting to watch. And my sister Joan is very, very much about being things organized, making decisions and choices, and she wants things done in a certain way, in a certain time frame. My brother-in-law Mike is more relaxed. He's very shy like I am. My brother-in-law Mike, he wants to take his time in making choices and decisions. And oftentimes you can see this sometimes when the kids come in, they want to do something or go someplace, or they have a question and they need an answer. And Joan has a response right away and Mike sort of sets back a little bit. And it causes a lot of, sometimes, disgruntlement, if you will. But there's a sense of complementarity, if you will, as they really engage in each other's life. And it's awesome to watch them work and love and care for each other. And it's that kind of response, that kind of coming together in faith as a family, gathering together around the altar of God, being fed and nurtured and nourished by something very holy, very sacred. And they bring that very much, that sign and symbol of Christ Jesus into their homes, into their house, into the place where they live. And they share that with one another. And in all of our relationships, we are invited to make sacred, make holy the relationships in which we live in. Husbands and wives nurture and nourish each other as they are fed with the bread of life, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when they come to this altar, when they are married, they gather before this altar, they stand before this altar, and they profess their love for each other, their faith in one another. And they don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 hours in their life, or in the next 6 days, 6 months, 6 years, or even the next 60 years. They don't know what turns and twists their lives are going to take. But they say to the other, because I understand and recognize that Christ Jesus is committed to us, the Father loves us intensely. I also now commit my love to you. I now will defer and be reverent to you. I recognize the holiness within you. Because when we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, something very sacred takes place. That we possess the sacredness, the holiness of God Himself in each and every one of us. And the more we come to recognize that, the more we come to understand and realize God's presence in our midst. And the more we are then able to respect and revere each other and always act out of that reverence, always acting out of that recognition of holiness in this other, showing them that we possess Jesus Christ, but they also possess Jesus Christ. That whenever we have a relationship, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, children and parents, children one another, bestest friends, that's not a word. But in all these relationships, when we allow ourselves to realize and recognize the sacredness of the other, we know that we are always walking on holy ground. We are always walking in sacred space. So we act in that way. We have that sense of respect in that manner. We always look at one another as a son and a daughter of God. And realizing and understanding that, the more we contemplate and reflect upon that, there is that aha moment for us, that there is that revelation that we are members of God's family, that there's a holiness that builds up and wells up within each and every one of us, and that we are fed and nurtured, and that's where the revelation comes from. The more and more we come to this altar, we have those moments of recognition that we are members of God's family, and how we act is always out of that deference and reverence for one another. Joshua says to his people today, decide today who you'll serve. In marriage, as in life, and in all relationships, we serve not only each other, but our very God, who does not call us into a relationship of slavery, but a life of free gift of our love. Husbands and wives, men and women, become sacramental signs, symbols of Christ's love in the world. The Eucharist is for each and every one of us, an ongoing reminder of the covenant in which we enter and has been perfected by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with God is sacred. In the profound relationship between men and women, Jesus Christ lives in our midst. And there's confusion and disagreement. And then the fact that we imitate the church sometimes even throws more of us into a more state of confusion. But Jesus Christ becomes for us the building block, the head of the body, and calls us then also to respond to his teaching. And the teaching that he's about is difficult. The words of Jesus Christ are hard. It's not cotton candy. It's not unicorns. It's not fluffiness. There are sometimes very hard words that we need to endure and we need to live by. It's Jesus Christ who reminds us, take up your cross and walk. Go sell all that you have and come follow me. That how often do we forgive? Not seven times, but seven times, 77 times. And the list goes on of these hard, difficult sayings of Jesus Christ. But when we gather to this altar, and we are reminded that we eat his flesh and drink his blood, that this is only the beginning of that sacred relationship that we have. And it is by our allowing ourselves to be subject to the teachings and to the love and to the life of Jesus Christ that we are able to worship in spirit and in truth and grasp the teaching of Jesus Christ and understand and recognize that it brings us to life. We have to be open to that love and to love one another fully, completely, to allow ourselves to have understanding for each other, compassion. And all of this brings unity. All of this brings that sense of community and communion that so often is lacking in our world today. When they are asked if they wish to go away, Peter answers for the whole group, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And in order to bring about that unity, Christ himself subjects himself to the will of the Father and suffers and dies on the cross and becomes our sacrifice forever. And it is that unity we participate in, not in some kind of cosmic, distant reality, but in simple bread and simple wine that gathers us together as a people, that reminds us of not only the Father's love, but how we ought to love one another, particularly amongst husbands and wives, mothers and fathers and children and all across the board, how we need to love each other as Christ Jesus loves us. That we are not subject to slavery, but the subjection to the Savior of the world. Deference, reverence to the head of the body of Christ, the body of which he is the Savior, Lord forever. Amen.